Acts chapter number 11, we're going to look down at the end of the chapter, verse number 19, and then on down a ways. There's an incredible church that is founded because of the persecution that comes upon Jerusalem. And so we'll read about that, but the saints are scattered, and the folks, they're not scattering to hide, they're scattering to go evangelize the world. And so I think God used that persecution to establish a church, and they find themselves in Antioch. Now, I'll say a little bit about Antioch in just a minute. But folks, this is one of the premier churches of the New Testament. I don't think Antioch gets the spotlight on it enough. And so we're going to talk about that. I believe with all my heart that God established in, of all countries, Syria. Antioch is in Syria. And yet he established a stronghold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together in Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I'm going to preach on this subject tonight, a stronghold for Jesus Christ, a stronghold for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening of celebration. And Lord, we're going to pause for an evening and we're going to look back. And we're going to think and we're going to remember and we're going to be thankful. But Lord, we don't spend our life looking backwards. We're not to do that. Lord, it's good for our hearts. It's good for our souls. As I mentioned before, I think it's part of your program, part of your plan for us to sometimes have these times of remembrance. But Lord, a church that is going to go forward has to look forward. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help, dear God. 53 years, you've blessed us so much, 53 years. I can't help but think what the next 10 might hold, or the next 20, or the next 30, if you tarry your coming. Lord, bless this evening, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And thank you very much for standing. The Antioch, the city called Antioch, referred to in Acts 11, was located in Syria. At the time of Paul, it was the third largest of the Roman Empire, boasting a population of over 200,000. A vast street ran through the heart of the city, lined with decorated places, ornate amphitheaters, and large public baths. A robust population of Jews added themselves to a diverse and varied population. This was a city, by the way, immersed in pagan worship, with its most famous and celebrated temple known as the Sanctuary of Apollo. Boy, it's important that you understand that. Most would see this city as a stronghold for Satan, but God saw it as a city ripe for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, and so it proved to be. Now, it ended up in just a few years, no city except for Jerusalem is so connected with the history of the New Testament church during the time of the apostles as the city of Antioch. Folks, when they arrived there, it was a stronghold for Satan. You know what? After they'd been there a while, it became a stronghold for God and a foothold in the heathen Gentile world, from which the missionary efforts of Barnabas and Paul and others would spread the gospel across Asia and Europe. But somebody, first of all, had to establish a stronghold. The first Gentile church here, the church in Antioch, was founded. And as duly noted in Scripture, the word Christian, think about that, the word Christian was first uttered in reference to these frontline fanatical followers of Jesus Christ. I want to just pause and let us think about that little phrase there, a stronghold for Jesus Christ, a stronghold for Jesus Christ. As you know, a couple Sundays ago, I went over and preached for Pastor McCammon, and they were celebrating their church's 45th anniversary. Brother McCammon has gone in and rolled up his sleeves, and they're working hard over there trying to get something going in Flora, Illinois. He's been there just over 5 years. You continue to pray for him. Folks, some fields are just harder than others. Right. And as I told him, I will remind you, you know what, if you go somewhere to do a work for Jesus Christ, 5 years is just a good start. 5 years is just an entry fee that you pay. And so he's got a great vision for that community. And he has such a desire to want to see God build a strong church there. I was there on a Sunday. The next Saturday, he had planned, him and his family and just a few of the members rallied around him, and they planned a big Saturday outreach. And he said, "Preacher, pray. I'd like to see 100 people come to kind of a meal that we're going to put on, and an open air service and some games set up for the kids, and just pray that we can get some people in the community to come." And you could tell he was so passionate about it and had prayed so hard. And then it came and it went. And I texted him next Monday and I said, "How did the Saturday event go?" And he said, "Well, preacher, we had 30 people come, but," he said, "we had some first time visitors." And he said, "We saw a lady get saved." And I could tell you he was excited, but just a little disappointed, because he'd set a high expectation. And I texted him back, and I won't read it to you word for word, but I said something like this: "Don't ever quit trying things that most people won't. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to dream big for the Lord Jesus Christ." I told him I've been doing it for 40 years now, and you know what? Sometimes it works better than others, but if you'll continue to do this, it will get the attention of your community. There is a church in Florida that's trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he texts me back, and this text, I think, was timely. He answered this, and this is his exact text here: "Yes, sir. I determined today that I may never be a stronghold like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but we can be an outpost." Did you get that? "But we can be an outpost." And then he said this: "But wait a minute, give me 40 years. 40 years in the desert, and I think I'll have some people here ready to do God's will." And he used that word stronghold, when he referred to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've had preachers, and this happens a handful of times. It happens from time to time. And usually at a pastor's fellowship, or when I'm in the presence of somebody that pastors either in Illinois and Indiana and is familiar with our ministry. I'll be honest with you, sometimes they come up to me and they say things that make me just a little uncomfortable. I want you to know that. And they'll come to me and they'll say, "Preacher," I had Pastor Brown over in Illinois tell me, "Preacher, I don't think that you have any idea. I don't think that your church understands how much the people in southern Illinois and southern Indiana, the preachers, look up to you and are thankful for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and thankful for your strong stand and thankful that God is doing something in the middle of nowhere in a small community, and yet God is blessing." And I'll be honest with you, folks, it makes me nervous. Maybe it shouldn't, but it always makes me nervous when people talk about us like that. I was at a pastor's fellowship. I had three pastors that pastor here in southern Indiana. They came over. One of them I'd never met before, and the other two I had. And the one that I'd never met before was a young preacher. And he said, "Preacher, you may not know me, but all over southern Indiana, God is talking about what's happening in Jasonville, Indiana. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a reason it makes me nervous, okay? And because there's a reason I don't come up here and share this with you very often. Oh, listen, we start getting the big head around here. You know, the quickest way, you know this, the quickest way to lose the power of God and the blessing of God upon a ministry is start thinking you're something else, okay? And by the way, a church or a preacher that starts thinking he's something pretty soon, you know what, God can show him real quick that he's really nothing. And so I don't get up and I don't beat this drum very often. But having said that, folks, let me just say something, okay? I don't know why. It's God's choosing. Marvelous is his works in our sight. But for whatever reason, in a little teeny town in Greene County, in Jasonville, Indiana, God has just put together something special. He's put together, I think Brother McCammon said it right, these other men have used a similar term. He's put here a stronghold. A stronghold. Amen. And I got to thinking about that as you travel around the country, as I travel around the country, in different regions of the country, in different states. I will tell you this, there's a lot of outposts. There's a lot of outposts. Thank God for the outposts. Yes. But in every one, in every region, in every state, God has raised up strongholds. And you know what he did here in Antioch? He raised up a stronghold. Something unusual. Something that wasn't happening everywhere else. A base stronghold from which he could then send out men into the ministry and send out church planters to go and affect the rest of the region for Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. I want us to put this Church of Antioch under the microscope. I won't keep you long, I promise. But, you know, I don't know why. Like I said, marvelous in the sight of the Lord is his works. But, folks, I do believe that if we look at the Church of Antioch, we'll see some similarities, and I think we'll see some things that we better make sure we keep doing. We better make sure we keep doing. Because at any point, any time, we begin to think we're all that, or we don't need to do the things to secure God's blessing. I promise you, you know what? God could take the blessing that's upon this church and move it over into some other ministry or divide it up amongst ministries. And very sadly, you know this is true, that there's many churches that at one time had the blessing of God upon them, and Ichabod is now written across the door of the church. So let me just give you a few things, okay? Number one, this was a church born out of persecution. It was a church born out of persecution. Verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled, and then it gives a list of three cities, and one of these is Antioch. Now, this was the church that was born out of persecution. You may not know the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I understand that over time some of this is going to get lost. But I don't think it should be lost as long as some of us that were there witnessed it. And I want you to understand, folks, there's a reason a handful of people gathered in a living room. A lot of times we tell you how it started, but we don't tell you why it started. But you know, my dad came down here, and you know what, folks? He's newly saved, only been saved 4 years, called into the ministry, took a pastor to the local church here that was an American Baptist church, began to preach out of the old King James Bible and see people saved and begin to see people baptized and converts made and Christians discipled. But there was a core group in that church that did not want the church to grow. They weren't excited about old-time religion. Stay excited about old-time religion. They were more worried about themselves than they were having an impact on a community for Jesus Christ. Instead of rejoicing over the new converts that were flooding into the church, they became jealous because, you know what, they'd always had their little church. It was theirs. Folks, this church doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. But that was their little church. And so, as happens and has happened in many, many scores of American Baptist churches across southern Indiana, God sends a preacher in there every once in a while and stirs some things up. And And over a short amount of time, the people got madder and madder, and Dad preached harder and harder. And then they had the world famous, come on, American Baptist Business Meeting. And next thing you know, there's people screaming and hollering and carrying on, acting like heathen, acting like heathen. Shame on the Church of Jesus Christ. That is the reputation of many churches when it comes to their Baptist business meeting. Business meeting. Folks, that's wicked. That is wicked. There came a day when Dad understood that he had done as much as he could there, and so he tendered his resignation, and after that did not really have a plan on what is next. But one of the men that was a deacon there got up the next Sunday and said something he probably shouldn't have said. And he said, "We're glad that Bob Ross is gone, and if you want that kind of preaching and that kind of church, then maybe you ought to go also." Well, what they didn't realize was that he had a lot of converts. They did one to the Lord. So they just said, "Fine, we'll do it." Well, guess what? The phone started ringing and ringing. Dad's phone is ringing. And preacher, they booted us out also. What are we going to do? I don't know. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Well, let's pray. And long story short, come on now. You know the story of the tree stump pulpit. But it needs to be told, because I take for granted everybody's heard it, and not everybody has. Well, there towards the end, when Dad was pastoring and preaching at that church and the battle was getting hot, he got up in the pulpit several times and he said, "The day that I can't preach the gospel from this pulpit and preach all of the counsel of God from this pulpit, I'll go find a tree stump somewhere and I'll preach from a tree stump. But I'm going to preach all that the Bible says." And so, you know what, when he showed up at Bob Swaby's the first Sunday, Bob Swaby had gone out into the woods, and he'd cut off a tree and he'd hooked it up to his tractor and he yanked it out of the ground, and he made a pulpit out of a tree stump. And the first Sunday at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, my dad stood and preached from a tree stump just as he'd promised he would. Folks, that's your heritage. You hear me, church? That's your heritage. All right, don't start snarling when the preacher's preaching all of the Bible. Come on, don't get upset that I'm going to keep preaching all of the Word of God. We shouldn't have to trim the message of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to keep y'all happy. Because you know what? That's our heritage. What are you saying, preacher? Just like the Church of Antioch, this church was born out of persecution. There was people that didn't want to hear it, but you know what? There was a preacher that was still determined to preach it. Number two, this was a church bent on spreading the gospel. Bent on it. Bible says when they came to these cities, in the end of verse number 19, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Well, wait a minute, that soon changed. Verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. What was the result? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, folks, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. This was a church born out of persecution, but this was also a church bent on spreading the gospel. Bent on spreading the gospel. That is the most important task. That is the last marching orders of our captain, the captain of our salvation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, folks, we can't make the church into a social club. Okay, the church's focus doesn't need to shift from lost people inwardly to try to keep a bunch of carnal Christians happy. We shouldn't have to do that. Don't waste my time making me do that. All right, stop sucking your thumb. If you're mad about something, get over it. Go home, take a couple baby aspirins, get over it. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Because if you're not careful, the Lord will cause you to become a constant distraction. So everybody's got to, come on, what's this really all about? So everybody's always got to stop and put out a little fire that you're starting, or a little problem that you've caused, or a little discontentment, or come on, what are we doing here? This is a church of soldiers that are supposed to be marching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a nursery where we're warming up bottles and changing diapers all the time. Amen? So this is a church born out of persecution, but it's also a church bent on spreading the gospel. By the way, when they did that, did it work? Did it work? Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That's what happens when you keep the main thing, the main thing. Number three, this was a church blessed with men of God. Blessed with men of God. You know what? When they heard something was happening, they took a very trusted man of God by the name of Barnabas and sent them from Jerusalem to Antioch just to make sure that things were being done proper and that this church was being established doctrinally correct. And boy, I love what it says about his report in verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Goes on to say he was a good, what are you saying, preacher? That Barnabas came and helped the church. God sent men of God to come and help the church. And it says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added into the church. By the way, Barnabas says, this thing's taken off so big, it's more than I can handle. He goes, takes a trip to Tarsus, and he finds Saul. And he says, Saul, come on, I need your help. This is the future apostle Paul, amen? And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Watch this. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Here we have Barnabas. Here we have Saul. And they come and they spend an entire year making sure these new converts are grounded in the faith. A whole year teaching them and establishing them. And they did such a good job creating disciples that people begin to recognize in this group of people the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, they're Christians. They're Christians. Look at all these oddballs over there just trying to be a bunch of little Jesuses. Amen. Amen. I think that's the ultimate goal of the Christian life. Look at verse number 27. These days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. Thank God for the preachers that God has brought in and out of this church through the years. Thank God of the pastors that God has brought in and out of this church. Thank God of the evangelists that God has used and brought in and out of this church. Thank God for the different men who worked as assistant pastors and staff that God has brought in and out of this church. And folks, listen to me. I want to say this. Listen, you always get behind a man of God. You always listen to a man of God. You always follow a man of God. There wasn't a bunch of Diotrephes, all of them, you know what, clamoring for preeminence and fighting over an opportunity for the spotlight. There were some people there that said, if God sends his man and that man preaches his word, and we sense the Spirit of God upon him, we're going to listen and we're going to learn and we're going to follow. And so it's a church blessed with men of God. Look at verse 26. It was a church brimming with faithful people. Look at verse 26. The Bible says in verse 26, and it came, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass, here it is, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They assembled themselves with the church. We look back, who were these people? The ones we read about, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And folks, listen to me, we can talk about leadership, and it's well and right that we do. But you know what, folks? We also have to have, and we have been blessed through the years, with men and women and young people that have just bought into it. Just bought into it. Just said, you know what? We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to see something miraculous. We want to be a part of a ministry that God is establishing as a stronghold to impact not just our city, but our region and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We want to be a part of that. And I want to say this. We can look over 53 years, and you remember, folks, when we had our 50th anniversary, and we took that wall right around the corner there, and we asked that you bring pictures of former members now in heaven. And young people, listen to me. I know a lot of these folks, if we had the pictures and we held them up, you know, there's a generation that wouldn't even know who they are. But never forget that somebody came before you and somebody paid a price for everything that you are enjoying right now. And when I say the blood, sweat, and tears of former generations are all over and within the walls and the structure of this building, I am not exaggerating. It is true. Amen. I've been to Blessed Hope Baptist Church work days. There's always blood. Amen. Like there's always somebody getting hurt. Blood, sweat, and tears of a generation that are now part of that great heavenly witnesses group of heavenly witnesses that's looking down from heaven, rooting this on. Don't waste what we've done. Don't change what we've done. Don't throw away your heritage. Keep going. Keep going. God allowed us to build a stronghold. Run with it. Do something with it. And so we see a church brimming with faithful people. And then in verse number 26, the last part of it, I love this. The Bible says there in verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now think about this. And they came in verse number 20, the end of the verse, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not gonna finish this sermon without bringing up his name. Amen. Amen. So yeah, it's a church born out of persecution and bent on spreading the gospel and blessed with men of God and brimming with faithful people, but it also a church that was bathed in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, let's understand and let's be reminded of this. Our job and our goal needs to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. All we need to study him. Come on, young people, get in the Gospels. Read about him, read about him. Listen to everything that he says. Watch everything that he does. Notice how he interacts with people. Come on, tap into his compassion. As you read the gospel, say, Jesus, help me to be just like you were on this earth. Help me to see what you would have seen. Help me to hear what you would have heard. Help me to feel what you would have felt. Help me to say what you would have said as I walk through life. Help me to be a Christian. Christian. Sometimes you'll hear your pastor get a little frustrated when I am dealing with a type of Christianity that represents anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. If your Christianity is bathed in worldliness, then it's not bathed in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I just want to be honest with you. I just want to come up and say, hey, folks, are you saved or not? Why is it so hard for Christian women just to go to the Bible and read about what a Christian woman's supposed to be, how they're supposed to act, how their personality's supposed to be, and what they're supposed to do, and what they're supposed to wear? And you know what? Sometimes, by the way, we'll always get criticized about this. And you know what? I am so past caring. I mean, if you can defend what so-called Christian women that go to some of the bigger contemporary churches are walking around in during the week, then God pity your wicked heart if you think that looks like a Christian. And the honest truth is they've conformed to the world. Be not conformed to the world. They've just allowed the world to say this is how a woman is supposed to dress and this is supposed to how they're supposed to act and this is how they're supposed to treat their husbands, and they've taken a worldly, humanistic concept of what a woman is, and Christians have bought into it. Folks, why don't we be Bible Christians? Men, it's got to start with us, because we've got to look in the mirror also. And sometimes I just want to come to some men and just shake them and say, why don't you just start being a Christian? I mean, here's a crazy thought. Okay, you say you're saved. Why don't you just start acting like Jesus? You know, why do you walk in with a dark cloud over you? Why do you have the bitter spirit? Why are you always, you know, have this satanic oppression about you? Are you saved or are you not? And if we're saved, let's be Christians. Let's just be Christians. Boy, it's so complicated. And then look in verse number 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And this was a church benevolent in their Christian giving. Now, how do you establish a stronghold? Brother Matt, you're down there trying to establish a stronghold. He's in an outpost. Hey, pray that the outpost becomes a stronghold. We're watching some of our church plants go from outposts to strongholds. Come on now. All right, we're watching some of the churches that our young men have taken that aren't our church plants, but they're being pastored by our young men, and they're going through the struggles of changing it from an outpost to a stronghold. Well, you know what? If you want that to happen, a church has to be benevolent in their Christian giving. Every man according to his ability. Determined to send relief. We ought to be determined in this matter of giving, determined in this matter of supporting missions, determined in this matter of giving tithes and offerings. The minute this church stops doing that, we'll go from stronghold to outpost to cast out. Okay, because how in the world can God bless? Come on, a whole congregation of a bunch of thieves. How can he bless it? Come explain it to me. How can he bless it? And so God's allowed us to have this. This is a gift. Church, I'm not trying to give us a big head. I'm trying to give us a thankful heart. This is not normal. People come up and try to tell me about it. It's almost like I don't want to listen to them. I don't want to hear it. Because I don't want it to affect me in the wrong way. But folks, come on, if I take a step back and come on, you know your preacher's somewhat well-traveled. And when I come back home and I look at what God has done in the middle of nowhere, it's not like these are a dime a dozen out there. And so you know what? Let's continue to do the things that God can use to create a stronghold. Okay? At one time, this community was a stronghold for Satan. Now it's a stronghold for Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that the devil's quit. And it doesn't mean our job is done. But at least we've got a foothold. We've got a base camp. We've got some ministry here which we can then, from this ministry, launch out outreaches in a way that the average church cannot do. So let's not waste it. And why don't every one of us leave here on the 53rd anniversary celebration, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, more determined to be a part of it than we ever have before. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that we've experienced. It's been a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, please, to keep your good hand upon this place. And Lord, keep us blessable. Keep us of a humble heart. Keep us, Lord, with a servant's heart and a willingness to sacrifice and to work and to do. Lord, keep our hands holy before you. Lord, help us not to compromise on our separatist stand. To understand that we have to be in the world in order to reach the world. But we should never be of the world. And Lord, if we take this stand in this day and age, it draws a big target. And it has, more than probably our people know. And Lord, I understand the devil. And he's relentless. And it seems like he's always stirring up scorners. And now, Lord, any person with a wicked heart and Wi-Fi can launch any kind of attack they want to against whatever preacher, whatever ministry. And Lord, in many ways, you've protected us, but it may not always be so. And I pray, Lord, that we just not worry about the outside noise. Just pray, dear God, that we would look at these ingredients and say, the Church of Antioch, they did these things. And God allowed them to be a stronghold. Help us just to follow the Bible.